I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Did I not tell you it was going to be a big show tonight? From squirting lemon juice in my son's eye to Medal of Honor Monday to huge topics like anti-white racism. This might be my, is it magnum opus, Chris? Magnus opus? Mary opus? It's a magnum opus? What does that mean? It's something good though, right? This is my magnum opus as we obfuscate our way through the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Another reason I've been saying, this is a theory, by the way. I don't have any inside information. My theory has been that they're going to run Joe Biden out of office. They'll use all the Hunter Biden crimes and the system will run him out of office. Not because he hasn't been a good and loyal servant to the system, but Joe Biden, he's not capable enough to keep up with the advanced lies. Remember, communism, it requires lies at all times, and the lies always have to build on top of the lies. And it's important you catch up with the latest lies. Now, you know, you and I have talked a lot about the climate change genocidal freaks. And let me clarify once again, if you believe that carbon, the air you're breathing out right now, if you believe that is poison, you have already lost to the climate change nutters. You have. Because once you give them that, then everything else is just simply coming up with how we get that to zero. How do we kill enough people to make it sustainable? That's what it is. So don't give them that. But do understand the genocidal climate change movement, as they like to call themselves. It is the most deadly movement in the history of mankind by a mile. Nothing else comes close. If you combined Genghis Khan with Mao, with Hitler, with Stalin, with whoever, if you combined all of them, they still, that combined group of people who killed a lot of people would not come close to killing as many people as the climate change people are going to do. Your quote, liberal Aunt Peggy, probably doesn't know it, but she is a murderous human being who will murder millions and millions and millions and feel like she's the good guy doing it. Billions, actually. The numbers with a B. This is John Kerry.
To net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture.
Sorry. I'll let him start again. Net zero, remember, that's a number that's a word they come up with a lot. We brought it up on the show before. You already know what it is. What's net zero? That means that as a nation, you put out zero carbon, which is patently insane. Not only is it your breath, not only is it the animals we consume, virtually all human activity puts out carbon of some kind. You're talking about, like, if you wanted to get to net zero, you'd have to find a big field and kill every person and animal in it and just leave an empty field. And boom, you're at net zero. So when they say net zero, it sounds very nice, but the nice sounding, we're going to compare John Kerry to Joe Biden. The nice sounding part is the point. Sounds very scientific, doesn't it? And they've certainly thought it through. Nothing too nefarious. It's just net zero.
We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution, and now are continuing it to show how we can innovate, how critical it is that we get this right, because lives depend on it.
Lives depend on it. Net zero. Lives depend on it. And what he's discussing the destruction of the small American farm. He's discussing ending the livelihoods and obviously lives of many, many people. But you heard how benign it was. We're just talking about net zero, and we're about saving lives. So net zero saving lives. It's net zero and saving lives. John Kerry, still young enough, still with it enough to be on message. And then comes President Poopy Pants.
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to. For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill. Anyway. I was able to.
The global warming bill? What global warming, Joe? Do you remember they used to talk all the time about global cooling, and then they went to global warming, and then that word, both of those terms have been put to death by the communists. You never hear those terms anymore, ever. You never hear global warming or global cooling ever. But why don't you ever hear those terms? Well, you as an anti-communist probably already know. Remember, the communist will never, ever, 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 ever in a million years define something for you or give you a specific stated goal. Ever. He will never do this. This should be the biggest red flag in the world when you're talking to someone. If they can't do it, you're probably dealing with the communists, whether or not they know or don't. Remember Mao? Remember his Cultural Revolution, where he went and murdered all his political enemies? But do you remember the rallying cry of Mao's Cultural Revolution? That he was going to get rid of the four olds? The four olds. And do you remember what the four olds were? Totally generic concepts that mean absolutely nothing whatsoever. Old ideas, old culture, old customs, and old habits. That was the goal of the Cultural Revolution. Well, what does that mean? What's an old idea? What's an old custom? I don't understand. What it means, whatever Mao wants it to mean at any given moment. He's not going to lay it out for you. He can't define it for you. The reason they moved on from global cooling and moved on from global warming and they never use those terms anymore is, well, you can tell what temperature it is today. Is it hotter where you live today than you remember it being last year? Or actually, it's on record. Is it hotter where you live today than when it was last year? Well, if it's not, then what if you don't believe in global warming? Is it colder? Then maybe you won't believe in global cooling. But if they call it climate change, well, that's the ultimate in vague terms that can mean whatever they want it to mean. That's why they move so seamlessly now to the world is warming. The ice caps are melting. Well, no, I mean, things are changing. Look, there's a tornado. That's climate change. Up, landslide, climate change. Wildfires in California, climate change. Now that you got super vague with the term, it means anything you want. But back to my theory that they're going to move off of Joe Biden. They're going to move off of Joe Biden because Joe Biden is too old and his brain has melted too much to effectively lie and keep up with the lies of the day.
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to. For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill. Anyway, I was able to.
That's the kind of thing when the communist hears it, because he requires lies and they all have, the system has to speak with one voice at all time. The vaccine slows the spread. One voice at all time. That's the kind of thing they just can't afford anymore. That's that kind of little thing right there. Grades on these people. Let's get to some emails. Jesse, my 3-year-old daughter loves listening to you so much. We are at a fish restaurant. He says, not Red Lobster, which is weird. And she started chanting your name. She loves journalist Jesse. If only you could get my Swedish dime of a wife to stop wearing those god-awful flats, I would love you forever. I love the show. Keep at it. Look, ladies, you can believe me or not believe me, but you know I'm naturally rude. You know that. And you also know I'm honest with you. Am I not? Do I lie to you? Ladies, I know that you like wearing the ballet flats. I know you do. I am sure They're super comfortable. You know why I'm sure? Because every time I insult them, the ladies come back at me and say, but they're so comfortable. No, I know. I get it. I can't properly explain to you how awful they look. Now, did I say you had to wear stilettos all day? That tennis shoes are fine. Boots, cowboy boots, anything but the ballet flats. I know your girlfriends tell you they look cute, but that's because as a woman, you have to always keep in the back of your mind that your friends secretly hate you and they're jealous of you and they really want you to look like crap most of the time. That's why they encouraged you to cut off your hair whenever you said, I'm bored with my hair. I think I'll give myself a crew cut. And they said, yes, Tammy, you'll look so cute. Secretly in the back of their minds, they're thinking, nice. That's another one I don't have to compete with because she is going to look like a drill instructor pretty soon. Stop wearing the ballet flats, ladies. All right, stop. I'm doing this for you, not me. I'm not doing it for me. The flats are all out of my house. I've overcome. I'm doing this for you. All right? It's a PSA. Now, speaking of PSAs, corporate America has a war going on. I'll be interested to see how this war goes, and I'll explain what that war is in a moment. But before we do that, let's do make sure that you can still grow some of your money while the bubble pops. Because the bubble's popping. You already know that. You listen to the show, you read the news, you pay attention, the bubble's going to pop. But what are you supposed to do? You want to put your money somewhere. You don't want to collect dollar bills and just stuff them in a mattress. So what you do is you get a hold of done-for-you real estate and you start getting in the real estate business. Don't worry. There's nothing to it because done-for-you real estate handles it all. They'll find you the properties. They'll find you the markets. They'll vet them for you. They get the financing. They get it insured. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. So what do you have to do? Nothing. You have to go to doneforyoujesse.com and simply get a hold of them. Doneforyoujesse.com. Hard assets. Hard assets. That's where you put your money now. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it's time to dig into a battle that's happening in corporate America. And it is one that is going to be an ugly one, and it's going to take place for quite some time. Two different headlines for you. And don't be blinded by the Bud Light portion of this. That's just, again, that's the on-the-ground portion of this. Like always, we're going to zoom out and look at a bigger portion of this. But two different headlines.
Bud Light sales plunged nearly 25% in the latest week as rivals steal away customers. Keep in mind, that's on top of 29% the previous week. It's really, really bad. Okay. And another headline. LGBTQ plus group suspends Bud Light maker's rating over handling of backlash. Now, let's discuss this because this is a huge thing that happens out there. The LGBTQ plus group is one of the most powerful groups you've never heard of in your life. They're called the Human Rights Campaign. The Human Rights Campaign. They are a very well-funded, exceptionally evil communist organization. What they do is this. They give various corporations scores. This specific score is called the Corporate Equality Index score. Now, what does that mean? That means, let's say, Chris runs the Human Rights Campaign. Chris is in charge. He would probably be in charge of the accounting, but that's another story. So Chris is in charge of the Human Rights Campaign. I have a business. I sell world-famous cheeseburgers. Michael has a business. He sells hair care products. Chris, as head of the Human Rights Campaign, will come to me, and they'll say, hey, Jesse, so we went through your burger restaurants. And the burgers are delicious, don't get me wrong, but we didn't see very many rainbow flags flying in the windows of your business. And we reviewed the last year of your advertising, and there haven't been any gay couples in the ads you put on TV and whatnot. I've got to be honest with you, you're going to have a pretty bad human rights campaign score, a corporate equality index score. Now, let's go to Michael with the Michael's hair care products. Michael, he's just rainbow everywhere. It's just rainbow in the windows, rainbow everywhere. Michael's company, they won't put out an ad that doesn't have a bunch of trannies in there or something like that. And because of that, the human rights campaign goes to Michael and they tell Michael, hey, you, honestly, this is the gayest company I've ever seen in my life. And we're big supporters of you, Michael. Keep selling that hair care. Now, you might ask yourself why I would care that they gave me a low score and why Michael's gay company, why he should care that they give him a good score. Well, here's why. It's a matter of how many levels these groups control. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. How many levels they control. Me, I could and probably would tell them to go pound sand. I'm going to run the ads I want to run. I'm going to run the ads I want to add. But... wait, I still didn't say that right. I'm going to run the ads I want to run. There we go. Nailed it. Third try. First try. I mean, all right. Anyway, what they would in turn do is not only give me a low index score, but they can hurt me financially. How's that work? Well, let's say Jesse's Burgers. Let's say we wanted to expand. We want to expand. We got to... great business opportunity. There's a local mall. They want to put Jesse Kelly's Burgers in there. But hey, I need a loan. Obviously, capital's restricted. And all of a sudden, I can't get a loan. I can't find anyone that will give me a loan. Why? That index score going to be a problem. Sorry, no new businesses for you. But let's say Michael's gay hair care company. Let's say they fall on hard times. Uh-oh. COVID came and hit them hard. They're having a hard time making ends meet. And Michael, he needs to seek out some capital from one of these financial giants. He needs to seek out some capital because he needs an influx of cash to help him keep the gay doors open so he can continue to sell hair care products. Well, Michael finds money everywhere he turns. Michael makes one phone call. He's got financial giant after financial giant willing to give him super low interest loans so he can keep the lights on the gay for as long as he needs to keep it on. That is really the state of corporate America. Since the world has gotten more global, you know, globalism, and since all these major corporations and financial institutions, since they have begun to intertwine themselves, the communists have figured out where the power lies. And they take over those areas. So what do we do? How do we deal with that? What do we do with that? Well, this is the bad news. One, it's going to be difficult, but we have to do a couple of different things. One, you have to insist that your red state attack them with red state funds and red state law enforcement because no one else has the buying power. No one else has the juice to hurt them. When these states like Texas and Florida and West Virginia, when they started banding together and they started banding together against ESG investing, that was the first time you saw these financial giants go, hey, we're out. We're not doing that anymore. That was the first time you saw an inkling of that. When you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, now you wake them up. So that's one of the things we have to insist from our red states. But there's another thing you and I have to do. And this thing is probably going to be more uncomfortable than you think. But that's kind of what we do, right? But we're going to have to do it. We'll discuss that in a moment. First, let us discuss you and the preparations you have made. Do you have ammunition yet? You need some. Do you have a way to access clean water? Please don't tell me your faucet. I mean, if the clean water stops coming out of your faucet, do you and your family have a way to access clean water? Whatever that way may be. Three, do you have medical supplies? And four, do you have food? People forget about food because it's not sexy. It's easy to convince a dude he needs to go buy another box of ammunition. But guess what? I don't care how many magazines you have full. If you and your family are starving to death, it does you no good whatsoever. Unless you're going to go kill your neighbor and take his food. Get an emergency 3-month food kit for everyone who lives in your home. Prepare with JesseKelly.com and get an emergency 3-month food kit. They're $200 off when you go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Go now.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Now, back to what we were talking about with the whole Bud Light thing. And we're talking about the Human Rights Campaign, this group that gives you a corporate equality index score and how you really want a good score. And it's better to have a good score because then you have access to more capital and things like that. So what does that mean? Let's go to Bud Light. It's actually a big corporation called InBev. Let's make it simpler, though. Let's stick with Bud Light. You're Bud Light. You want that good corporate equality index score, especially for a corporation of that size. They always need this favor or this capital or this for this reason. You want that good score. And what you'll do is you'll start inviting poison into your company to help you get that good score. Because I want a good corporate equality index score because I'm Bud Light. So I'll hire this liberal white woman and that liberal white woman and that liberal white woman. I'll just fill up my company with all the, quote, diversity hires I can. This year we're hiring. I need 95 black people, 25 trannies. We need a bunch of feminists in here. You're just trying to fill up your company with all this stuff. And then because you've brought poison, because you brought communists into your company, eventually poison will come out of your company. Eventually, you will find yourself as a company that makes beer. You'll find yourself slapping a tranny on a beer can and telling people that they should buy Bud Light because you have trannies on your beer can. And then, boom, reality finally hits you in the face. The reality is, uh-oh, that was a terrible idea. You set off a hornet's nest, and now you're in very, very, very deep trouble. Now your company has become a punchline, society-wide punchline by non-political people. Dudes do not want to be seen drinking Bud Light with other dudes. Remember I told you earlier in the show that story about going to eat crawfish and listen to music with my son? The wife and I were sitting there. It was this huge outdoor covered patio area. Even though eating outside sucks, I don't want to hear it. That's the only place there was a band. Anyway, we were sitting outside and we just decided, because we were talking about politics, we started looking around. And we decided, hey, see if you can see a single Bud Light. Broad daylight. Place is full. 80 to 100 people, I would guess, out there. One table had Bud Light on it. One. It's a stigma. So now what's happened is they are in a pickle, just like I warned you they would be. I told you this was coming. They backed off. They dropped the ad. They did everything but apologize. They've been running all this Americana ad stuff, and now they're putting out camouflage beer cans. Look how America we are. But none of it's been enough. But the backing off set off the Human Rights Campaign, and now they're dropping their corporate equality index score. So what does that mean for you? And what does that mean for me? What it means is this. It means it's not enough. When we start boycotting a company like Target, Target is an evil company selling chest binders for young girls. I mean, as evil as it gets. When you boycott Target, it's not enough to boycott it for Pride Month. And it's not enough for just you to boycott it. It must be an ongoing, sustained campaign that will bring Target to its knees the same way you've brought Bud Light to its knees. The truth is, and this makes people uncomfortable, but it is true, until these corporations fear you as much as they fear the Human Rights Campaign, then all the endless rainbow waterboarding will continue, because they are going to sit down as they have forever in the corporate boardroom, and they're simply going to weigh the positives and negatives. Hey, what happens if we make the people on the right mad? Okay, there's that. Now, what happens if we make the LGBTQ demon mob mad? Okay, there's that. Until that math pencils out to making you more mad, to making you mad is more devastating to them than the demon mob, then they don't change. That sounds like a lot, but what it means is you and I, we have to be more ruthless than we've ever been. It's why I just looked down with such scorn on all these GOPers who told us to back off of Anheuser-Busch once the boycott was starting to work and once we were starting to hurt them. That kind of pathetic, soft, low-T mentality is exactly why we never win. If we had backed off, now thankfully we didn't. Everyone ignored those losers and we just kept on boycotting them and now they're feeling pain. But if we had listened to that, then the next time a decision like that came around, Bud Light would make the same decision they made last time because it just penciled out. Who cares if we make the right mad? They'll get sick of a boycott in a week and go back to chugging Bud Light. But we didn't, and now it's stuck. An ongoing, sustained campaign is what we need. And remember this, it's not just enough to not spend money with people. It's where you do spend your money. It's not enough to just not have Verizon. Trust me, Pride Month's a week away. You're going to wish you didn't have Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. But that's not enough. Where are you giving your money? You need a cell phone. Everyone has cell phones. Are you giving your money to Pure Talk, who shares your values, or not? The people who share our values need to be upheld by us. We have to hold them up because woke capital won't hold them up. We have to be the safety net. And it's not like you're sacrificing. You save a pile of money when you switch to Pure Talk. They share your values. They aren't going to take your money and destroy this country with it. They're going to take your money and, oh, I don't know, help with veteran suicide. And they're giving out free Samsung Galaxy phones right now when you get unlimited talk, text, and data. You have to pick up your phone. You have to dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That's it. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Now, that brings me to something else. Jeffrey Epstein allegedly threatened Bill Gates over a reported affair with a Russian card player. I'm not going to get into all the details of this, what it is and what it isn't, because it really doesn't matter all that much. But I will simply say this. It looks more and more like Jeffrey Epstein. It looks like he possibly, I don't know this yet, I have very smart people who tell me they think this, possibly was an intelligence agent of some kind. I have heard CIA, I've heard FBI, I've heard Mossad, I've heard all these things. I don't know if any of those things are true, but it looks like this human being, whether he was doing this on behalf of an intelligence agency or not, it looks like his job was to gather damaging evidence on the most powerful people in the world. And this much I do know. I do know when they raided Epstein's island, I am told they collected vast quantities of pictures, of videotapes of some kind. And of course, the FBI promptly lost it for reasons, but they collected all kinds of evidence there. What does this mean? I don't know what it means. It means it's a freaking ugly world out there. I'll tell you that much. It means it's a really, really ugly world. It also means that when Bill Gates speaks, you should really, really keep in mind with whom Bill Gates has chosen repeatedly to associate himself with. Over and over and over again, Bill Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein. So many times his wife told Variety magazine it made her skin crawl. Well, now ex-wife, I guess I should say. So there's a little something to put in your back pocket. Now here's something else. You hear this guy, the president of the NAACP?
We should not use race or othering as a tool to weaponize against people. And unfortunately for a large percentage of the Floridians, that's what he has done. Therefore, we are advising African Americans and others that if you travel to Florida, beware that your life is not valued, that we have a political landscape that could cause harm.
He lives in Tampa.
He's telling people not to go to Florida. The guy lives in Tampa. But you remember what I'm talking about? What's his objection? Why is the NAACP leader up there talking about permitless carry in Disney? That's a weird black issue.
On the economic diversification front, in just the last few years, Florida has moved into the number one spot in the United States for black-owned businesses, and number two for Hispanic, and number two for women-owned businesses as well. African Americans and Hispanics are doing quite well here when it comes to running their own businesses and being able to make money here. How do you address that with this new ban?
First of all, that's propaganda language. Over the last several years, it wasn't because of anything he did in policy. Florida, by geography, is an attractive place where people would like to go. But he's fighting the largest company in the state with Disney around tourism. They just pulled out $1 billion. He is minimizing the quality of education by taking away the diversity for children to learn. He has sought to cause harm by saying that every citizen could carry a gun without permit. Those are not.
Why is the president, the leader of the NAACP, this quote civil rights group, why is he getting in on the Disney fight and the bill that said don't talk about gay stuff with kids and the permitless carry? That's an odd thing for the NAACP leader to get involved in, no? Do you know why? If you listen to this show, you know why. If you're a new listener, we'll tell you why. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So again, what we were talking about before. People who listen to the show regular will know. But why? I mean, the NAACP is a civil rights group, right? Why is the leader of the NAACP so concerned about the Disney stuff? That doesn't have anything to do with civil rights stuff, right? And they're worried about permitless carry. You know why? Because there aren't different communist groups in the country. Everyone thinks there are separate groups. There's the civil rights hustlers, and then there's, of course, the LGBTQ demon mob, and then there's, of course, the climate change people, and then there's the feminist cows, and then there's... They're all just fingers of the same communist fist. In the end, it's all just about communism. That's why they're constantly working together. That's why you have Antifa showing up to run security for a child drag show event. What does an supposedly anti-fascist common street radical group have to do with the fact this dude wants to wave his penis in front of your 3-year-old? Well, they're on the same communist team. That's why. Never be fooled by the fact that the communist is constantly, he's trying to present to you as this group they really care about. The NAACP, oh, go black people. We're definitely in it for black people. Oh, gay rights. We just want gay people to be treated equally. And feminists, look, we just want to get our crew cuts and drive our Subaru Outbacks in peace and all these other things. But really, they're all just communists trying to burn down America. Communism is just the religion of the malcontent. Oh, by the way, we didn't have time to get to all the FBI stuff today. I'll get to more of this stuff tomorrow. But listen to these whistleblowers. Listen to them.
It appears that I was retaliated against because I forwarded information to my superiors and others that questioned the official narrative of the events of January 6th. As a result, I was accused of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. Because I did this, the FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States.
But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
That's two different FBI informants. Well, FBI informants. FBI whistleblowers. Why can't I talk? Okay, so that brings me to this. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been around somebody who tells you they're in charge. I'm in charge. If you're a dude, you know any other dudes who say, I run my household, I'm in charge. Guarantee you that's a guy who's not in charge. You ever see somebody around the office? I'm running things around here, I'm in charge. It doesn't come off well, because you saying it kind of means that it's probably not true. When you're really in charge, it's not really something you have to announce. It's just something that's known, which is why this comment from Kevin McCarthy really stuck out to me.
Well, I want to be very clear with the FBI director that Congress has a right and we have the jurisdiction to oversee the FBI. This is one piece of paper that a chairman of a committee has requested to see. He hasn't even acknowledged whether he has this document, but he hasn't even provided it. I explained to the director that we will do everything in our power, and we have the jurisdiction over the FBI, that we have the right to see this document. Mm. I believe after this call, we will get this document.
That's two different times in the course of, what was that, Chris? 30 seconds? About 30 seconds. That's two different times he had to assert that Congress has jurisdiction over the FBI. Really? Because the FBI sure doesn't seem to think so. Someone should probably tell the FBI. And you know what? You telling me that you have jurisdiction over the FBI kind of leads me to think you don't. Dear Jesse, commie fighting swashbuckler. This month I gave up my cigar money and sent in enough to preborn to hopefully save 10 innocent lives. Gosh, that's freaking cool. Whenever a liberal asks me if I'm pro-choice, I ask them, what does that mean? They always reply, you know, a woman's right to an abortion. I then ask them, in order to make a decision, can you please describe to me what an abortion is? This always leaves them frustrated and on the verge of wanting to kill me. Then saying, you know what abortion is. I tell them I don't. And can they please describe to me in full detail so I can understand? They never say what it actually is, and they get argumentative. So I say, if you're so passionate about something like abortion, surely you should be able to tell me what it is and what actually happens during one. Watching their little heads struggle with reality and avoid telling the truth is absolutely priceless. This usually ends the conversation. And you're right, liberal feminist white women are absolutely evil. Just knowing I give to preborn makes me smile while I'm talking to these evil people I will give every month. God bless you, brother. That's freaking awesome. One, I love that. That's such a great way to do it, because remember, communists, think of them more like robots. They just want to go up and plug into the hive mind and have their programming uploaded, and then they go off and they spout out talking points. But they don't ever want to actually deal in reality. That's a brilliant way to put it. Really? An abortion? What's that? Now describe it to me. What happens during one? Why are you so upset? I don't understand why you're so upset. All I asked you to do was describe something you feel very strongly about. What's wrong with that? Oh, I love that. That's brilliant. Chris, that's my idea from now on. What, Chris? From now on, that's my idea. Hey, guys, I just had an idea. From now on, when you get in a conversation with the pro-abortion person, ask them to describe it to you. I do this all the time. Been doing it forever. Works every time. Two, this dude saved 10 lives by giving to preborn. Well, how much does it cost? You know how much it costs. $28 saves a life. That means this guy gave $280 and now 10 babies, most likely 10 babies, because that gives a free ultrasound to a woman seeking an abortion. She gets the ultrasound. She chooses life. This guy, 10 souls, will now walk the planet and do who knows what with their lives, because one guy sat down, went to preborn.com/Jesse and gave $280. Maybe you don't have that money. Maybe you have a lot more than that. Maybe you can give $28,000. Do the numbers on that. Maybe you've got $28. But hey, maybe you don't even have that. Maybe you got five. Maybe you got 10. Do you have something towards saving a life tonight? Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
I actually did that way too late. We don't have any time for headlines. I love you guys. That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.